think back to a time when you made a major decision in life. Possibly it was decision who you were going to marry, or the decision to what career you were going to take, or maybe even a decision to quit one job and take another. Very often, those moments of major decisions, or may I say it another way, moments when we are being called by God, are made in the very ordinary moments of our lives. I remember well the day I decided that I was going to begin the process of entering the seminary. I was on the football practice field out at Windhorst, and we were having blocking practice. Not a fun thing to do. But I was waiting in line, kind of my turn to do the blocking. And I thought to myself, if I'm going to be a priest, now's the time. I've got to take the steps to enter the seminary. I didn't know what that all entailed, but I knew I had to go talk to the pastor there at Windhorst. If we go to the first reading about Elisha, what is he doing when he was called by the Lord? He was plowing, a very ordinary thing to do for his day. Now the story tells us that he had 12 yoke of oxen, and that he not only left them, but he slaughtered them, offered them in sacrifice. And for the wood for the sacrifice, he took the equipment that he was plowing with and made a fire out of it. Now, 12 yoke of oxen was not a poor man. He had some wealth. But he left it all, and that was symbolized by his destroying the animals, destroying the equipment. He destroyed his very way of making a living. He left all to follow in the vocation of Elijah, the vocation to which God had called him. We see that too in the lives of the apostles. What were many of them doing when they were called by Jesus? Fishing. Matthew was at his tax collector's table. They were going about the very ordinary events of their lives. They were called by God, and they left everything to follow. Luke, in the gospel today, tells us about Jesus heading for Jerusalem. Now, for Luke, it is somewhat of a literary device. He sets a great deal of his gospel in that journey to Jerusalem. He wants to show us that Jesus was determined to go and do what the Father had called him to do. And so he sets out, the gospel says, resolutely on the journey, knowing full well what the end of the journey would bring, that it was going to bring suffering, it was going to bring death, but that he would rise again. Now, in the course of the journey, Luke gives us some examples of people who either wanted to follow Jesus or were called by Jesus to follow him. And it's interesting how Luke presents those examples. He does not minimize at all the cost of following Jesus. To the first one he says, foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, if that man wanted to follow Jesus, he had to be ready for the same. To the other, who wanted to go home and say goodbye to family, Jesus points out clearly that his first consideration must be the reign of God if he wanted to follow. And to that last one, he was reminded that he could not look back. If he wanted to follow Jesus, he had to put his eyes on Jesus and follow him on the way to Jerusalem. Isn't that a message for each and every one of us? The following of Jesus is not a part-time option. We follow him fully, totally, irrevocably. We do not follow at all. So often we want to treat our lives, our journey to the kingdom of God, kind in the way we might try to go and buy a car. You know, we want to get the most for the least. And sometimes we want to make our journey to heaven that way. How can I get there for the least effort, the least cost? Luke, in the gospel today, is very clear about that. It is a total commitment. It is giving our lives fully to the task of following Jesus. He calls each of us at various moments in our lives in various ways. But to each of us, if we are to follow him, it must be a full-hearted, total commitment. I had to smile when I was crossing Aurora with the sign of the cross. You know, that is a symbol that we are accepting her for Christ. And I thought, she's wise. She's not sure she's ready for this. Because it is a total commitment. And one needs to ponder well if you're ready to give yourself fully to following the Lord Jesus Christ. The second reading also has something for us to look at. In that second reading, Paul says that we have been called for freedom and not for slavery. What is the freedom to which you and I have been called? Paul makes that very clear. It is not a freedom for selfishness. It is a freedom to love and to give ourselves in service. And in Paul's mind, if we choose selfishness, if we choose to focus in on ourselves, we fall back into slavery. And I think if we look around us, we know that is true. Think about a selfish person you have known. The more selfish they are, the more enslaved they are to themselves. And usually, the more miserable their life becomes. Well, they may have all the external things, but internally, they are miserable. What gives us freedom is love. When we are willing to give ourselves in service, when we are willing to give ourselves in love, we find the freedom that Christ came to give us. The freedom to love. The freedom to give ourselves in service to one another. The freedom to follow Jesus and enter the kingdom of our God.